Hallelujah. Let's stand for prayer. Ephesians, the third chapter. We're going to read Paul's second prayer in this book of Ephesians. And may we consider that this prayer is for us. You know, chapter 1 and verse 1, he addressed this letter to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's you and I. And so this prayer, we want to consider it. He is praying for us. You know, in chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So we begin with verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Ephesians 3:13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Oh, when we consider Paul's life, he endured many trials to bring to us the message of grace. He's writing this letter from a prison in Rome. And that was a great trial to Paul because he had gone on missionary journeys, going from city to city, especially Gentile cities, preaching Christ. And here he's in a prison and locked up, and he's not able to go and travel and preach as he had been doing before. So that was a great trial to him. But his imprisonment is the means of his message reaching more than he could have ever reached on those missionary journeys. And I certainly thank God for Paul's epistles. They bring to us the fullness of the message of grace. And so he prays for the saints. He's always concerned for the saints, that they would not be stumbled because of his imprisonment. Because he says it's for their glory. God's ways are mysterious, and they certainly are awesome. Yes. Verse 4. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's first prayer that we read in chapter 1, he prayed that we might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the exact knowledge of Christ. And which that prayer is sure preparatory for this prayer. And he says, for this cause I bow my knees. He is overwhelmed with the glory that awaits the faithful overcomers. And he knows that Satan will try to hinder them with his subtle schemes that could cause them to faint. And he always desired for the saints to grow and for them to obtain the highest glory. So he prayed for us that we might attain unto the highest glory. His prayer is addressed to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pouring out his heart to God for you and I. Verse 15. of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says he bows his knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. All believers of all the ages of time are of God's family. And just think, Paul and a great number are already in heaven of his family. Yes, in heaven, absent from the body, but present with the Lord. And we read in Ephesians, which is far better. Far better. He prays for those that are still upon the earth. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his power, by his spirit in the inner man. Just think of that. How much can we lay hold of? According to the riches of his glory, we can lay a hold of by faith. According to the riches of his glory. Paul wants us to experience all that is ours in Christ. Yes. It's already paid for, been purchased. Yes. And he wants us to experience all that is for us. May we not limit God by man's carnal conception of God's grace. God's wealth of glory forms the height, or maybe I should say the depth, of his grace unto you and I, that we might be strengthened with the eternal power of the Godhead. Selah, think on that. Strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. That's the operation of the Holy Spirit. To make God's word clear to us and to enable us to appropriate it. 1 Corinthians 2:10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And only the new man, the new creation life, can know God's dynamite power. Oh, praise the Lord. God dealt with the old creation once through Christ's death on Calvary. God counted that old creation, that old man crucified with him, Romans 6:6. And have we not learned by experience the two natures in the believer? I believe all of us have. Mm-hmm. And we count with God, one dead and the other new man alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This petition is for those who have already received his Spirit. Colossians 1, we read, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. As the Christ life grows stronger and stronger, the self life is brought in under subjection to the inner man. How? by the indwelling Spirit. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Of course, Christ dwells in every believer, but most don't know it by experience. There's a difference. If they did, they would not talk about being saved today and lost tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Christ should not dwell in us as a visitor, but as a possessor and a director. All I can say is Selah. Think on that. When we're first saved, we're just babes in Christ. But when we learn him more and more, he assumes control of our affections, our desires, our thoughts. Our whole heart should be yielded to him. We certainly learn that we're not kept by our puny power. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. He is our life. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the next strain of the prayer says, being rooted and grounded in love. In his love. You know, roots and foundations, they're usually invisible, but they take time and toil and much patience. Well, likewise, this is a deeply hidden experience, not showy at all. And it may seem tiresome to the flesh. This goes on as we take in God's word, seeking to know and to do his will. And we find, as we're growing in the Lord, that the trials that come our way are ordained by him. They are his instruments for our rooting. But praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. We're strengthened and nourished by the Word of God, and faith sustains us. Did you notice the rooting comes first? The roots grow deep and strong, becoming a deep laid foundation so that we're fixed. 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith explains the rooting and grounding in his love. Let's go on with verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height. Wow. This fourth part, or this fourth strain in his prayer, is part of that rooting and grounding in love. Declaring the depths and implying the heights, but there must be also a corresponding breadth and length. It's just like an immeasurable cube. And Paul prays that we may comprehend it. May we seize hold of Christ's great love by faith, and let us learn it by experience. Not as a theory, but praise the Lord for an inexpressible fellowship that can be ours with Him. May we respond to His great love toward us by fervent love, our fervent love toward Him. There is so much more than knowing Christ as Savior. There's so much more than knowing Christ as our healer. There is so much more than knowing Him as the anointer with the Spirit. There is so much more than knowing that He answers prayer. The next verse completes it. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Praise the Lord. Do you notice the very first word of this verse is and, A-N-D? And in the Greek, this is not in conjunction, but it is explicit. It emphasizes the statements that have gone on before and explains the meaning. We could use the word even. Praise the Lord. So the prayer is that we may know even the knowledge that surpasses this love that surpasses knowledge. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And the Greek word translated passeth is very unique. And the English fails to express what it really means. The verb form is to throw or to hurl beyond a mark, to excel all bounds, to reach the zenith, to be over and above, beyond the highest point. Our English word exaggeration doesn't even come close, but it comes from that. The love of Christ that Paul prays that we may know excels all limits. It is beyond concept, even by the redeemed mind, but by God's grace, that love can spring up in our hearts, cause us to soar, meeting God far beyond the heights of knowledge and more than I can express in words. This portion of this epistle and this prayer is so marvelous, so deep. Even in studying it, I felt like what God said to Moses, take the shoes off your feet, you're standing on holy ground. In Jack's last months, and I mean many months, it might have been almost a year, he talked a lot to me at home about what thoughts he had in his meditation upon the Word. And for months and months, he was talking to me about the more excellent way. He had thoughts on it, and he enjoyed them so much. And he tried to share them with me, but he couldn't write them down, what they really meant to him. We gave him notebooks, didn't we, June? A pencil in his hand. And he couldn't write them down. This love of Christ is intoxicating. Songs of Solomon's, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Is that not intoxicating? That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit is the chief agent that is making us full. Hence, requires continuous acts of faith for growth. The way seems narrow. The way seems slow. And they're suffering. And that's hard on the flesh. And there's bitter opposition from Satan. But God's word effectually worketh in you that believe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It gives strength and encourages us to endure and to stand as we eat God's word and believe it. We are being filled with all the fullness of God. We become like Jesus. That's the work he's doing. Let us yield to the voice and power of the Spirit, just as Jesus did as a man. We read of it in the Gospels. We grow up in Christ, and Christ grows up in us. He fills our vision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I think this must have been one of Jack's favorite scriptures because he quoted it so often. He quoted it so often, I'm sure probably all of us could quote it, couldn't we? Well, Jehovah is fully able to answer our cries. And we read here, even all that we ask or think. And abundantly above all. Exceedingly abundantly above all. And this is a precious verse, but Jack always emphasized the word according. When he quoted it, he always emphasized according to the power that worketh in us. As we yield to the blessed Holy Spirit, he wisely operates the dynamite power. May we let the Holy Spirit have his way fully in our lives. This is an ongoing thing, an ongoing work. And no doubt the climax is the bride of Christ. Verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a sweet end to the prayer. Time is, as we see in the scriptures, divided up by dispensations. Well, the millennial period is the next dispensation after this dispensation. It will be the greatest of all the ages of all time. During that period, Jesus will be exalted to reign. His bride will be by his side. He will govern the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords, and his bride associated with him. Praise the Lord. But now, during our lifetime, we are given grace and wisdom to put down all rule and authority and power in ourselves. We learn to yield to him who is able to subdue all things in us. And we will be rewarded for that yieldedness. How will we be rewarded? By assisting the Lord, our bridegroom, as he puts down all rule and authority and power in this world. Praise the Lord. I can say no more.